The question is this: how many persons does it take to get married in the Catholic Church? How many persons does it take to get married in the Catholic Church? So, and you have to raise your hand. You can't shout out answers. It's not like an auction. Two. I'm sorry. Oh, two people and God? I suppose that could win a prize. Okay. That would, we would say that's three. That's a nice try prize, okay? You get a holy card blessed by Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II, and a miraculous medal blessed by Pope Benedict. So there you go. Okay, so but that's not the right answer. It's close. How many persons does it take to get married? Three? That's what she was essentially saying. So if I had another third place prize, I'd give it to you. But I don't. I'm sorry. So I've got to give some love to this side. Sorry. So five. That wins a great answer prize. It's not the perfect answer. Why five? Very good. Husband, wife, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice I said how many persons does it take to get married, right? And we're celebrating today Trinity Sunday, right? And this is part of the lesson, is that there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each distinct persons, right? Plus the husband and the wife, right? So five, that's a very good answer. That wins you a St. Francis medal with dirt from his tomb, a little piece of Italy, and a miraculous medal, both blessed by John Paul II. So there you go. But it is not the perfect answer. What is the perfect answer? No. But why did you say six? You need the priest. Yes. You also need two witnesses. Well, you guys all said it at once, and now I got this prize. Who wants it? Well, here, I'll let you guys fight over it after Mass. Eight is the most accurate answer because you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, husband and wife, priest, and two witnesses are needed for the legality of a marriage in the church. This is holy water from Fatima. So you guys can fight over it after Mass. Or not. You know, one of the things they told me in seminary when they were teaching us Holy Trinity classes, really, guys, try to preach on the Holy Trinity as little as possible. Because it is so easy to fall into error. Because, guys, it's like us trying to talk about God, which is really hard. Imagine if our brains and our understanding as a human person is this little juice glass, right? It's this little juice glass. And I remember as a kid, after Mass on Sundays, we would go home and Dad would, he would take a gallon of white milk, and he would put a bunch of Hershey's chocolate syrup in it, and then he would shake it really hard, and guess what we got? Chocolate milk, right, for breakfast. And what if you tried to pour that whole gallon of chocolate milk into that little bitty juice glass, right? Well, it would just go overflowing, and you would only get a portion of it. And that's exactly what happens when we try to understand God, because you're talking about a God who is infinite, omniscient, eternal, and we're trying to fit all of that knowledge, the knowledge of everything that was, is, and will be, into a little bitty juice glass. That's us, a created being. And so it is a mystery. Now, keep in mind, a mystery is not something we can't understand anything about. A lot of people think, oh, well, it's a mystery, so I have to have faith, and I just take it for granted. There's some truth to that. But a mystery, guys, is something we can only understand some things about. Not something that we can't understand anything about, but something we can understand only some things about. And one of the approaches in the past to the Holy Trinity is not to talk about what the Holy Trinity is, but we found out through various heresies what the Trinity is not. One analogy that people will often use is the analogy of water. Water has three forms, right? Frozen, liquid, and gas. And so a lot of people would say, well, that's an image of the Trinity, right? Because it's got three, but it's one thing. Well, this is actually what we call modalism. Modalism is where we think that God is one, but reveals himself in three different forms. Like in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as the Father. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, especially the Son, and in the New Testament, the rest of the New Testament, and the current age, the Holy Spirit. Well, they're not just three faces of the same person. They are three distinct persons. This was actually condemned in 381, way back in 381 at the Council of Constantinople. Another error that's often used, an analogy that's often used, is the sun. The sun is a star, gives off light, and creates heat, right? And so a lot of people would say, well, the Trinity's like the sun, one yet three aspects of it. But this ultimately, this analogy ends in what we call Arianism. Arianism is where we think that the sun especially and the Holy Spirit are created by God, somehow created. No, Jesus Christ, especially the second, we should most accurately say the second person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit, guys, they've been there since forever with God the Father. They will be there forever with God the Father, and hopefully with us too, right? They are also eternal and divine beings. Arianism at its core is a heresy that denies the divinity of Jesus Christ. And you know what's beautiful about the Catholic Church is there was a time when most of the bishops in the Catholic Church were actually Arian. They had fallen into heresy. They believed that Jesus was not a divine person. And yet, this is the beauty. This is how we know that God's blessings are upon his Catholic Church, because today we're still believing the right thing, that Jesus is a divine person, even when most of the church went astray. That's how we know God is guiding his church. Some other heresies that have crept up. Adoptionism, that Jesus was created and then adopted by God as a divine person. No, he's always been there as a divine person. Apollinarianism says that Jesus had a human body, but no divine being, no divine soul. Macedonianism is very much like Arianism. It says that the Holy Spirit was created by the Son, and there will be a test at the end of Mass. So you're taking notes, right? No, the important thing, guys, is not that you necessarily know all the names of these things, although I will tell you, they're very interesting to study because they help you refine your idea of who you believe. You come here every Sunday and profess belief in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but do you really understand what that means? And do you understand how easily you could fall into error by just thinking, oh yeah, that sounds reasonable? Poor St. Patrick. St. Patrick was from England. Go English, right? He went over to Ireland, and he tried to convert the poor Irish pagans, right? And what image did he use to try to convert them? The three-leaf clover, right? And it's not a bad analogy. It is one, and yet three. But in the end, it doesn't suffice. And any analogy wouldn't do because it has three parts. And we call this partialism. God the Father is not one-third of the Trinity or one-third God. Jesus Christ is not one-third God. They are all God and yet three distinct persons. And guys, in the end, this is really all we can positively say about God. That God is three persons, one God. That's the most simple and accurate statement of who God is. In just a few moments, we will profess the Nicene Creed. You guys are pretty familiar with that. Sometimes we use the Apostles' Creed. But I want to share with you today an ancient creed called the Athanasian Creed. This is from the 4th or 5th century of the church. It's attributed sometimes to Athanasius, sometimes to St. Ambrose. And this is, oddly enough, a lot of people don't know this. This is still considered a valid creed in the church today. So if you wanted to make a statement of your Catholic faith, this Athanasian Creed is still considered a very worthy text to be used. Athanasius says this: "Whosoever will be saved, before all things it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly." And the Catholic faith is this: that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, that is, confusing the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.